कुंज विहारी गोपी जान वल्लभा गिरीवरधारी गोपी जान वल्लभा गिरीवरधारी यशोदनन्दना व्रजनरञ्जना यशोदनन्दना व्रजनरञ्जना यमुना तीरावनचारी यमुना तीरावनचारी जय राधा माधवा कुंज विहारी जय विहारी गोपी जान वल्लभा गिरीवरधारी यशोदनन्दना व्रजनरञ्जना यमुना तीरावनचारी यमुना तीरावनचारी जय राधा माधवा कुंज विहारी जय राधा माधवा कुंज विहारी जय राधा माधवा कुंज विहारी
जय ओम विष्णुपाद परमहंस परिव्रजाकाचार्य अष्टोत्तर शतशिशिमाद हिज डिवाइन ग्रेस एसी भक्तिवेदांत स्वामी श्रील प्रभुपाद की जय इस्कॉन बीबीटी संस्थापकाचार्य हिज डिवाइन ग्रेस एसी भक्तिवेदांत स्वामी श्रील प्रभुपाद की जय श्रीमद् भागवतम की जय ऑल ग्लोरीज द असेंबल डिवोटीज ऑल ग्लोरीज द असेंबल डिवोटीज ऑल ग्लोरीज द असेंबल डिवोटीज ऑल ग्लोरीज ऑल ग्लोरीज ऑल ग्लोरीज टू श्री गुरु एंड गौरांग ऑल ग्लोरी श्रील प्रभुपाद ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नारं चैव नरोत्तमम् देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जायमुदीरये नष्टप्रायेषु अभद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भगवती उत्तम श्लोके भक्तिर्भवति नैष्ठिकी So today we are starting a new chapter of the 8th canto, chapter 11, titled King Indra Annihilates the Demons. We are going to read from text 1 to 5. 1 to 4 have no purports. So I will just read the text and the translations. Text 1. Shri Shuka Uvacha Ato Suraha pratyuplabda chetasa parasya pumsa parayanukampaya jagnur brisham shakra samira nadayas tamstan rane yer abhi samhataha pura.
Translation: Shukadeva Goswami said, "Thereafter, by the supreme grace of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Sri Hari, all the demigods, headed by Indra and Vayu, were brought back to life. Being enlivened, the demigods began severely beating the very same demons who had defeated them before." Text 2.
Vairochanaya samrabdo Bhagavan Pakasasanaha Udachyadyada Vajram Prajahahetu Chukrushuhu.
Translation: When the most powerful Indra became angry and took his thunderbolt in hand to kill Maharaj Bali, the demons began lamenting, "Alas, alas." Text 3.
Vajrapanistam ahedam tiraskritya puram stitham manasvinam susampannam vicharantam mahamrade.
Translation: Sober and tolerant and well equipped with paraphernalia for fighting, Bali Maharaj moved before Indra on the great battlefield. King Indra, who always carries the thunderbolt in his hand, rebuked Bali Maharaj as follows. Text 4.
Natavan muda maya bhir mayeshan no jigishashi jitva balan nibadhakshan nato harati taddhanam.
Translation: Indra said, "O rascal, as a cheater sometimes binds the eyes of a child and takes away his possessions, you are trying to defeat us by displaying some mystic power, although you know that we are the masters of all such mystic powers." Now we come to text 5, which is on the board.
Arurukshanti maya bhir utsisirpanti yad yedhivam tandasyun vidunomi agnyan purvasmacha padad adha. Arukshanti maya bhi utsisirpanti yedhivam tandasyun vidunomi agnyan purvasmacha padad adha. Arurukshanti maya bhir utsisirpanti yedvam tandasyun vidunomi agnyan purvasmacha padad adha.
Shanti Maya Be.
Shanti Maya Be. Sisripantiye divam Nidunomi agya
Matajis.
Arurukshanti maya bir utsisripanti ye divam Andasyam vidunami agyan Vasmacha padad adaha Urakshanti maya bhir Utsispranti ye divam Dasun vidunomi agnya Purmasmacha padad adaha
Arur Kshanti. Persons who desire to come to the upper planetary systems. Maya Bihi. By so-called mystic power or material advancement of science. Utsis Panti. Or want to be liberated by such false attempts. Ye, such persons who, Divam, the higher planetary system known as Swargaloka, Tan, such rogues and ruffians, Dasyun, such thieves, Vidunomi, I force to go down, Agnyan, rascals, Purvasmat, previous, cha, also, padat, from the position, adaha, downward. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Jai Srila Prabhupada. Translation. These fools and rascals who want to ascend to the upper planetary system by mystic power or mechanical means, or who endeavor to cross even the upper planets and achieve the spiritual world or liberation, I cause to be sent to the lowest region of the universe. Purport. There are undoubtedly different planetary systems for different persons. As stated in Bhagavad Gita 14:18, Urdvam Gacchanti Sattvastaha, persons in the mode of goodness can go to the upper planets. Those in the modes of darkness and passion, however, are not allowed to enter the higher planets. The word Divam refers to the higher planetary system known as Swargaloka. Indra, king of the higher planetary system, has the power to push down any conditioned soul attempting to go from the lower to the higher planets without proper qualifications. The modern attempt to go to the moon is also an attempt by inferior men to go to Swargaloka by artificial mechanical means. This attempt cannot be successful. From the statement of Indra, it appears that anyone attempting to go to the higher planetary systems by mechanical means, which are here called Maya, is condemned to go to the hellish planets in the lower portion of the universe. To go to the higher planetary system, one needs sufficient good qualities. A sinful person situated in the mode of ignorance and addicted to drinking, meat-eating and illicit sex will never enter the higher planets by mechanical means. Thus ends the Bhaktivedanta purport to text 5 of chapter 11 of canto 8. Om Agyana Timirandasya Gyananjana Shlakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupakadama Yam Dadati Svapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yutapada Kamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Ragunathanvitam Tams Jivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakan Vitamscha Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Preshtaya Bhutale Srimate Jayapataka Swaminiti Namine Nama Acharya Padaya Nithai Kripa Pradayine Gaurakata Damadaya Nagaragrama Tarine Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Preshtaya Bhutale Srimate Gopi Pananadana Dasa Iti Namine Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Preshtaya Bhutale Srimate Bhaktivedanta Swaminiti Namine Namaste Saraswate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshitarine Vanchakalpaturubhyascha Kripasindubhye Evicha Patitanam Bhavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha
Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Srivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Mukham Karoti Vachalam Pangum Langayate Girim Yatkripatamaham Bande Shri Guru Dintarinam Yatkripatamaham Bande Paramananda Madhavam Shri Chaitanya Ishwaram. Katanchana Smrite Yasmin Dushkaram Sukaram Bhavet Vismrite Viparitam Syat Shri Chaitanyam Namamitam.
In June of 1976, Srila Prabhupada was visiting New Vrindavan. So he was on his morning walk and there were a few dogs lying on the road. When Prabhupada and his entourage passed by, they started barking. And Prabhupada immediately said, "Immigration Department." And then he turned to the dogs and he said, "That's all right, we have a passport." So he was talking from, Prabhupada just didn't like the Immigration Department. And just one day earlier, he had traveled from Toronto to Pittsburgh and he had to go through immigration. So even on the previous day, he was complaining to the devotees that the Immigration Department means dog mentality. This is my country, this is America, this is my country, Canada. And he said they don't understand the basics of spiritual life. So therefore, it's dog consciousness. Okay, I said this to just set the tone because Prabhupada used the same argument when speaking about the moon landings. He said, even in our own world, the Immigration Department is so tough. They don't allow you to get through to their country. So what to speak of the higher planetary systems? So in a lecture in Stockholm in 1973, Prabhupada brings up this point. So it's not possible they could easily go to the moon because they would have a much tougher Immigration Department in the moon. I'll come back to that a little later. But first, I want to speak a few things about Shastra, speaking about material subject matters, especially what we think are perceivable subject matters. So, sometimes there is this problem that people think Shastra is relevant when it speaks about spiritual realities. But when it speaks about cosmology or other material subject matters, we don't have to take it very seriously. But we have to take the spiritual parts very seriously. But Prabhupada explained to us that we chant Om Agyana Timirandesya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militamena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha, that all of us are blinded to different extents. Sometimes Prabhupada also used the analogy that when you wear glasses, when you wear sunglasses, for example, dark sunglasses, then you can see, but what you see is tainted by the color. I'm not criticizing those who wear sunglasses, I'm just trying to make a point that what you see is all dark brown or whatever. You may see something, but you don't see reality as it is. And Prabhupada explains this very elaborately in the first canto, third chapter, text 44, the last verse of the third chapter. He explains that scripture, especially Srimad Bhagavatam, can be understood only when one hears with rapt attention. And then he says, to hear with rapt attention, you need to have a purified mind. And to have a purified mind, you should be pure in your actions. And to be pure in actions means to be pure in eating, sleeping, mating and defending. So the four regulative principles that we know of are not just moral principles. Ravindra Swarup Prabhu explains this very nicely. We normally think, or in different religious traditions across the world, they think that whatever regulative principles they have are just some moral principles. But actually, They are not just moral principles, they are principles of cognition, of knowledge. So, if you are not pure, so if we are not pure in the eating, in the habits of eating, sleeping, mating, defending, if we do not follow the regulative principles nicely, then we cannot be purified in our minds. And if we are not purified in our mind, then we cannot be purified in our consciousness. And if we are not purified in our consciousness, then there is no question of understanding what is reality. So Prabhupada, he often, when he uses the word Krishna consciousness is a science, the exact phrase, if you look at the Sanskrit equivalent, when you would translate, the exact Sanskrit equivalent is vijnanaha. Jnana is knowledge, vijnanaha is realized knowledge. So in the modern world, they only understand the concept of information. There is no, they have information, they process the information, that's it. So the maximum you can say is that I've understood something. But nobody can say I've realized something. Realization is a function of purified consciousness. So Prabhupada brings up this point here that only those who are in the mode of goodness can go to the higher planetary systems. So even within, even if you look at our own lives, we can notice that when we perform Krishna consciousness very nicely, or let me take the other example, when we don't perform Krishna consciousness very nicely, then we are miserable, we are complaining all the time, everybody is at fault, everything is fault, this is going wrong, that is going wrong. But when we practice Krishna consciousness nicely, the same realities, they appear differently. So consciousness is a very important aspect of understanding reality. And we cannot understand Bhagavatam without having purified consciousness. So different people may read Bhagavatam and they may come up with different understanding. During the parikrama, I remember Bhakti Vigna Vinash Narasimha Maharaj was saying how there was a PhD student in Bangkok University who did his thesis on the Bhagavatam. And I remember when the devotees heard this, they all clapped. But Maharaj had not finished. He went on to say that the thesis was how Bhagavatam is a book of Dharma, Artha, Kama and Moksha. In fact, Bhagavatam rejects this. So even though somebody had read the Bhagavatam, because of not having purified consciousness, he could not perceive what the Bhagavatam was saying. So this is the nature of scriptural knowledge, that the more you are elevated, the more you perceive what is reality. Therefore, Jiva Goswami writes that, of course, we have the Vedas, which is a Shruti, which is eternally there, eternally coexistent with the Lord. Then we have the Smriti, written by the great devotees. And what are these? Jiva Goswami explains that these are the sense perceptions of the pure devotees. Sense perceptions of the pure devotees. So, those who are completely free from the modes, their sense perception is perfect. So the Bhagavatam is certified by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to be the Amala Purana. So whatever is presented in the Bhagavatam is true. So we cannot think that, okay, maybe these things are not so important, maybe it's not true. Or maybe this is material, we should focus on the spiritual. But even that, when you speak of it, what is material, what is spiritual? Do we even understand that? For example, let's take Kshirodakshaya Vishnu. Kshirodakshaya Vishnu lies in an ocean. Let's take Karanodakshaya Vishnu, not Kshirodakshaya Vishnu. He lies in an ocean of water. Karanodakshaya Vishnu. I hope I'm right. Okay. He lies in an ocean, the causal ocean, yes. He lies in the causal ocean, and there is a lotus stem that is coming out from his navel, and Brahma is born on top of the navel. And it's explained that all the planetary system are situated on this stem that is coming out from his navel, and Brahma is on top of the stem on a lotus flower. Then the question may come up, is the stem material or spiritual? Because Karanodakshaya Vishnu is spiritual. So if the stem that is coming out of him is material, how can it be material? Is it spiritual? Is it material? So this is the problem that we get into this area of trying to understand what is spiritual, what is material. Because from the perspective of a pure devotee, he doesn't look at things with the dualistic consciousness that we have. We so much identify with duality that we can only think in terms of matter, spirit, matter, spirit, matter, spirit. Whereas for the pure devotees, it is all Krishna's energy. It's all Krishna's energy. So when they look at the Bhagavatam, they don't think into this is matter, this is material, this is spiritual, this is material. They don't think in those terms. They just think, look at it as Krishna's creation. So therefore, we cannot think that the Bhagavatam, that is due to dualistic consciousness, which we impose on the Bhagavatam, thinking that some parts are spiritual, some parts are material. Why are all these family traditions described? So we just don't get it because of our identification with matter. And Prabhupada calls duality as misidentifying matter and spirit. So there are two categories, matter and spirit, and we misidentify them. Whereas a pure devotee, he sees everything as Krishna's creation. Therefore, this thing that something is material, something is spiritual, is a false notion. It is not classically accepted in the Vedic tradition that some things are material, we can reject, some things are spiritual. Everything has to be accepted as it is. So when we accept everything as it is, then we come up with a very difficult problem, at least apparently difficult problem, that the scripture says that we cannot go to the moon. We cannot go to the moon. So then, what about all the evidence? What about all these different things? Prabhupada took a very simple approach. When he was shown the moon landing, he was shown physically with on the screen that the people landing on the moon. Prabhupada looked at it and he simply said, this is not the moon. So this is how a sadhu sees. He doesn't see through the eyes. Of course, Prabhupada was a pure devotee, so he could see what is going on. But generally, we need to look at it like this. It's not that we see through the eyes. We see through Shastra, through the ears. So even if somebody shows us a picture of the moon and saying, this is the moon, the higher planetary system, we don't have to think this is the moon. We don't have to rely on our eyes. We can rely on the scripture. Now, Prabhupada interestingly had... So then the question comes up, if this is not the moon, what is it? What is it? What is it that they're showing there? Prabhupada had many different explanations. In 1972, in a Nectar of Devotion lecture in Mumbai, he explained, here, just like for example, I remembered how Prabhupada is mentioning here that Indra pushes down people. He doesn't allow people to enter the higher planetary systems. So Prabhupada gives the example, just like suppose somebody comes to India and he lands in the Rajasthan desert. This is not India. India has got so many things beyond that sand in Rajasthan desert. It's got cities, it's got towns and whatever, villages, Vrindavan, Mayapur, people. But if somebody lands in the Rajasthan desert, that is not India. So Prabhupada said that these people, they have, by their material technology, they were trying to go to the moon. So it's very much possible. That Prabhupada didn't give any definitive explanation, but he talked about the various possibilities. So he said, it is possible very much that the higher planetary systems, they have better technology. So they diverted the moon project into the desert of the moon. And as we heard the previous speaker say, that moon is a source, Prabhupada himself mentions this very clearly, moon is a source of all vegetation. So how is it possible that the moon itself is barren? And then, then in 1975 in Honolulu, Prabhupada, during a morning walk, somebody brings up the point that the whole moon landing was staged in a laboratory. And Prabhupada says, yes, it is all laboratory. So Prabhupada gave very lot of different explanations. Then he also said, how is it possible that they could have gone? Because the immigration department in 1973 gave that explanation. So like that, Prabhupada was sure of what happened. They didn't go. They did not go. But where they went, that's something, as Prabhupada said, only Krishna is omniscient. He knows all the things. So Prabhupada knows what he explained in Shastra very clearly. They did not go. What they did, Prabhupada had so many different things. And even some of the even the secular people, they say that they compare the moon landing to a movie of James Bond, Moonraker, where they show that how the whole setting is very similar to the moon landing. So even Karmis come up with these kind of explanations. But the interesting thing was, at the time when Prabhupada had said they're not going to the moon, nobody else had said it. Later on, different people came up and said different things. But Prabhupada had that courage at that point in time to say they have not gone to the moon. So this is the effect of having full faith in Shastra. And Prabhupada, of course, is a pure devotee, so he could exactly perceive what is going on. This is not the moon, something else. And so therefore, we should develop this faith in Shastra. A lot of speakers have spoken about the context of this, of these chapters in terms of the churning of the milk ocean, the fight between the demons and demigods. So I just thought I'll just focus on this particular purport alone without speaking about the context of the verses, because here the particular thing is about how the demons, the nature of the demons is that they think they can do whatever they like to do. It's just a question of figuring it out and we can do it. That's it. So that's how they think. So Prabhupada dismisses that ability. It's not just a question of you think what you can do, but you can, even if you think, you cannot do it. That's the point that Prabhupada is repeatedly trying to make, because there are limitations, inherent limitations. You cannot do whatever you want to do. And Prabhupada explaining that very, very nicely. So here he brings up this point that to go to a higher planetary system, you need to develop the mode of goodness. So again we see how consciousness is an important factor of even going to a destination. So this world is a place of passion and ignorance. So depending on the state of your consciousness, you can go up or down. So I remember there was a very interesting lecture which Devamrita Maharaj gave on the 4th canto, chapter 30, text 33, during the Gaur Purnima festival. It was about destination consciousness. Destination consciousness. That is, like the karmis, they are always thinking in terms of going from one planetary system to another. Destination consciousness. Go here, go there. Even the others, Sakama karmis also, they are Vedic followers. They also want to elevate to the higher planetary system. Everybody is enamored by this destination consciousness. So then, the question comes up, what about us? We are also, aspiring to go to the spiritual world. That is also destination consciousness. Is that our teaching? Is that our philosophy that we should be destination consciousness, conscious? Yes and no. Yes and no. So Devamrita Maharaj explained that very nicely, and Prabhupada repeatedly brings up that point in several places, that ultimately we are not destination conscious. We are service conscious. That is the nature of pure devotional service. Then why does Prabhupada always speak of? Because this translation very clearly says that people may even think of going to the spiritual world by material means. It says here that if you look at the translation, Prabhupada translates it as those fools and rascals who want to ascend to the upper planetary system by mystic power or mechanical means, or who endeavor to cross even the upper planets and achieve the spiritual world or liberation, they even attempt that, I cause to be sent to the lowest region of the universe. So, then why does Prabhupada speak about, he's not talking about anybody going to spiritual world, but there's a lot of times we even have back to Godhead. There's a lot of emphasis on going back home, back to Godhead. So on the one hand we say we should be service conscious, so what about going back to Godhead? So Prabhupada uses that expression, if you notice his teachings, primarily in the sense that we have gone away from home, and we are loitering in the street. Prabhupada uses that example, that particular phrase, loitering in the street. We are lost. So we should not be lost. We should go back home. Repeatedly says, we should not be lost. We are trying to enjoy independently. We are an illusion. We are lost. We are hopeless. So we should go back. We should go back home. But we should not interpret that to mean, go back home means, yes, go there and be in the spiritual world. That's it. But rather, Prabhupada clearly explains the mood of a pure devotee, the mood of the residents of Vrindavan especially, which is what Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to give and which Prabhupada propagated around the world, is whatever it is, service is what is important. Wherever there is service, that is what the devotee thinks that they should do. And Devamrita Maharaj is speaking in that particular verse was how the devotee doesn't even care about being born again and again and again, as long as it is Krishna's will to serve him. So devotees willingly A devotee willingly accepts that. That is the mood of the residents of Vrindavan. Now you hear how, depending on your state of consciousness, you can go to higher planetary systems. Once you're free from the modes, once you're in the platform of pure goodness, then you can ascend to the spiritual world. But even there is a gradation. It's a spiritual gradation of consciousness. So Jiva Goswami, in his commentary on the Nectar of Devotion, explains this. In his commentary on 1252 of the Nectar of Devotion, and this is a very, very interesting explanation, and only then I understood what Krishna is speaking in the Bhagavad Gita. So, Krishna says, Manushyanam sahasreshu kashchit atitishite yatatam api siddhanam kashchinme vetti tattvaha, which means out of hundreds and thousands of people, hardly one tries to understand me. And out of hundreds and thousands of people who have perfected themselves, even among them, hardly one knows me in truth. So Jiva Goswami explains this very nicely. He says that there are three kinds of residents of the spiritual world. Category one, of course, all of them. Let's first of all get the modes out of the way, because there's no question of the modes being there and being the spiritual world. There's no question of the modes. But even among them, there are three categories. Category one is those who have an attraction for happiness and power that is there in the spiritual world. So, and at the same time, they have an inclination to serve the Lord out of their natural love. Obviously, all of us have love for the Lord. That's our constitutional nature. But their proclivity, their tendency for happiness and power of the spiritual world is higher than their proclivity for service. That is the category number one. Higher than that category is those whose proclivity for service, or those whose tendency to render service, is higher than their tendency for happiness and power. What does happiness and power mean? It means the four types of liberation. Sayujya is anyway rejected. Devotees don't even accept Sayujya. But the other four, Sarishti, Samipya, Salokya, and Samipya. Which Salokya means to be in the same planet. Samipya means to be close to the Lord. Sarishti means to have the same opulence as the Lord. And Sarupya means to have the same form of the Lord. Similar form of the Lord. So, those who have this tendency predominant over their tendency to serve is category number one. Category number two is those who have the tendency to serve higher than their tendency for these four things, four types of liberation. Higher than these two are those who have the desire only to serve the Lord. That is the pure devotees. And Jiva Goswami explains, among the first two categories in the spiritual world, that is those who have a predominant tendency for happiness and power over service, and the others who have a predominant tendency for service but who still have some inclination for the other four types of liberation. Among these, if you take this category as a whole, out of tens of millions, Jiva Goswami says, out of tens of millions of such residents of the spiritual world, there is one pure devotee. So that is how rare pure devotional service is. And then he goes further to say, out of those rare people, the pure devotees of Krishna are even more rare than the pure devotees of Vishnu. And these are the residents of Vrindavan, the Vrajavasis. And this is what Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has come to give us. So that is why he is considered the Mahavadanyaya. He has come to give the rarest of the rare. And to whom? And to whom? That's the most interesting thing. That there has never been an incarnation who did not demand a qualification. Never. Never in the history of incarnations. Every incarnation, including Krishna himself. Sarva dharman paritejya mamekam sharanam raj. You do this, then I'll do this. Then aham tam sarva papevi mokshishyami vasucha. You do this, then I'll take care. Every incarnation has a condition. There is only one incarnation which does not have a condition, which is Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And not only that, even more astounding, Krishna's Kaviraj Goswami says, if one even tries to understand the mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the hairs on one's body will stand on end. This is not only, forget about not being qualified, The mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who gets that mercy first? The most unqualified. The most unqualified. Therefore, he's considered the greatest of all incarnations, because he's giving what nobody has ever, people don't even know about the, I mean, it is such a rare thing. Even the understanding of the love of the Vrajavasis, the very knowledge of it, forget about realization, even that knowledge is not so rarely, is not so easily available. He has presented that whole, he's given, made them accessible to us, that whole love of the Vrajavasis, and to whom? To the most fallen. Therefore, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is the most merciful incarnation. So, being in Mayapur, we should remember this very clearly, that we shouldn't take it for granted, because if you look at the other sampradayas, for example, if you look at the Madhva sampradaya, according to their own philosophy, it takes millions of lifetimes, lifetime after lifetime, to go back to the spiritual world. It's a very long process. But Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, which is normally so long, what Lord Chaitanya has done, he's done exactly the opposite of whatever is known so far. Exactly the opposite. What is most difficult within one lifetime, everything you look at, it's all completely opposite. So Lord Chaitanya has turned everything topsy-turvy. So then, of course, by his mercy, it's called the flood of mercy, because whether you want it or not, he's giving it anyway. Usually you have to have a lot of qualification, and that's why it says when the flood of mercy comes, Krishnas Kaviraj Goswami explains that whether you're educated, uneducated, lame, blind, everybody gets drowned in that ocean of mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So then, the only way, at the same time, we may think, okay, Lord Chaitanya's mercy is available, but what about the age in which we are living? He has given this mercy in the most difficult age. You know, so there is always this thing, what an age we are living in, the age of quarrel and hypocrisy. That's another opposite. In the worst age, he has given the highest mercy. So we should actually think that we don't have to do anything. Just have to do anything. Just take it. That's it. That's all there is. Like Prabhupada said, just give this one life to Krishna. Just one life. And Prabhupada really, with that, yesterday I remember Sikhi Mahanti Prabhu had come to my office. So he was talking. Prabhupada was simultaneously very intense, very serious, at the same time very blissful. So that was something which was prominent in Prabhupada. He was constantly, all the time, very serious, very intense. At the same time, constantly, all the time, very blissful. So he gave us a method. Prabhupada taught us this. This is Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mercy. So he presented Krishna consciousness with a certain intensity. And it says that the most confidential thing that you can get from the spiritual master, in this case, we can say the most confidential thing that we can get from the founder Acharya is his mood. And what is his mood? Practice Krishna consciousness intensely and distribute it intensely. It is this intensity that is the legacy that we inherited from Prabhupada. The moment we become complacent, we are not anymore Prabhupada's followers. They're not full followers, some followers. But actual Prabhupada follower means that even if we do not have that intensity, at least we should cry to have that intensity. It is there in every page of the Prabhupada's writings. I remember once, one friend of mine, he had read only a few Prabhupada's books. Then he started reading so many other books, including devotees of ISKCON. I'm not saying outside ISKCON. And he started reading so many books. And then he came to me and said, you know what? All these years I've been reading so many books. I couldn't somehow or the other read Prabhupada's books. I just felt it was repetitive. It was so many different things, he told me. And then he told me, but you know what? The last 1 month, I've been reading Prabhupada's books. And he said, the intensity that is there in Prabhupada's books, the urgency to surrender, the urgency to develop love of God, that cannot be found anywhere. And he said, you cannot escape it. I was reading every other book because it permitted me to escape, you know. Okay, I can take life a little easy. I can be a little bit okay, I can do this. That is why, he said, in retrospect, I thought it was my own contamination due to which I was not reading Prabhupada's books, because Prabhupada's books creates that sense of urgency, that intensity.